Yeah, I'm sorry to make you wait. How many of you love to wait? Yeah, none of us. I want to start with a little pop quiz to see how you're doing with this title, Patience. Here we go. Question number one. When driving, how often do you use your horn? A. Rarely, and you don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you here. Rarely, if ever. You're the kind of person, if someone violates you in traffic, you just say, hey, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a great day. I love you so much. B, as needed, usually after the fact to express yourself. C, every Sunday at the square in Medina. Question number two, how often do you complain if the service is very slow? A, never. B, only if my food arrives uncooked and there's a hair in it. C, regularly. That's why I go through drive-thrus so I can honk the horn till they bring me my food. Question number three. I don't know how you're doing so far. Question number three. While waiting in the supermarket checkout line, I meditate and I'm at total peace. I watch the, and I'll be honest, I watch the guy who would be me in the other line and see who picked the quickest line. Who, mess up. Everybody did it. It drives me crazy. See, I search for the horn on my cart. Based on that little pop quiz and your reaction, even as we get started, all of us deal with the need for more patience. We hate to wait. If there's one place that I've been, and I've been there, 20-some times on mission trips to the Dominican Republic, what I had to learn in the first couple visits is I didn't take my watch. When I first started going, we didn't have cell phones, but after cell phones arrived, I didn't even carry my cell phone because there's a such thing as called Dominican time, and that means what you think is time, it's time, wait 2 hours, and then it's time. Whether you're going to the work site, we go to the work site, we have to wait on a taxi. The taxi was a pickup truck where we would all load in the back of that thing, drive over pothole-filled roads, makes our roads, no matter what road you're on, seem perfect. We finally get to the work site. We get to a work site, 90-some degrees in the heat, waiting for the block to arrive, for the block to get there. Once the block got there, you wait for the concrete to get mixed. Once the concrete's mixed, you wait for decisions to be made. You just wait for the taxi to go back to the base camp. When you're at the base camp, you're waiting on a shower. So there's one shower. When you finally got in the shower, you'd wait for the water to trickle out to wash off the soap. And after all the waiting, the worst part was the wait in the airport to get back to the United States of America. And as I was there, I would start to deal with my impatience and I would get upset, but it wouldn't last very long because I would look around and I'd see people waiting for their next meal. I'd see people waiting for a free shirt. I'd see people waiting for a roof to go on their house. I'd see people lined up for medical clinics to get medical help. And I'd see people waiting on heaven, knowing that when they got to heaven, it would all be better. And every time I come back, whether it was the Dominican Republic or from Haiti or from Thailand, I would thank God that I was the United States of America, and it would make my patience a little bit stronger, knowing how good I actually have it. No matter where we are in this world, we all seem to hurry up and wait. And I don't have to tell you the damage that comes about when our patience runs low. When we begin to get impatient with people, that's when our husband launches a verbal missile at his wife and pierces her heart. That's when a wife gives her husband that look and says, "I can't believe any human being could be such a pathetic jerk as you are right now." That's when an exasperated dad finally loses it, shakes his child, and says, "Why can't you kick the soccer ball like everybody else can?" That's when an exasperated employee finally blows up and yells at the boss, "I'll tell you what you can do. You can take this job and you can give it to the next most qualified employee." Hasn't it been your experience that every time you've been impatient, there's been a price tag with it? We pay for it. We pay for it professionally. We pay for it relationally. And we pay for it spiritually as well. But there's no magic formula to produce patience in us. But I've got great news for you. God wants to supernaturally produce patience inside of your hearts. There's a key text we've been looking at during this whole series, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Let's read just a little section of that out loud. Let's read this together. But the we would love it if God could build patience in us automatically. But there are things that he does within us to supernaturally make us more patient than we are. How's he do it? Let me give you a few ways if you're taking notes. Number one, he allows trials to test us. We think God would do it a different way, that God maybe would put us on a calm beach somewhere, or God would give us a peaceful circumstance, but God does it exactly the opposite way. God brings trials, circumstances in our life which force us to not be patient, to grow our patience. We have all kinds of trials and tests that we go through in our lives. Gene Apple calls them dream intruders. Dream intruders. They come into our life and life isn't exactly as we dreamed it would be. And we're wondering if anything positive will ever come our way. James describes it like this in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. This is from the Phillips translation. Let's read this together. When all kinds of that's tough to do in the midst of it, isn't it? When trials and temptations crowd the lives, don't resent them as those dream intruders, but welcome them as guests, because God's producing patience inside of us. Those difficult situations in life are the things that grow our patience in spite of how difficult they might be. In fact, people who have very few difficulties in life are usually some of the most impatient people I know. Those people that haven't struggled really haven't grown patience. There's a couple of Greek words used in the New Testament for patience. One of them is it's the ability to stand up under a load. It's the ability to get under a load, pressure, trials, and be able to endure and stand up underneath it. And there's one man in the Bible that comes to our mind every time we talk about patience. Even if you've never been in church, you've probably heard the phrase, that person has the patience of Job. Why? What did Job ever do to deserve that? I mean, everybody in the world, if you said, you walk down the square Medina this afternoon and said, that person has the patience of, and somebody would say, Job, because of his trials, lots of trials. This guy lost property. He lost his livestock. lost his kids, lost his friends, had relentless pain in his body from morning to night, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. So much the scripture tells us he would break pottery and scrape himself so that he might find some relief. Not only that, but he lived with a non-stop, nagging, non-sympathetic wife who one day even said to him, "Joe, why don't you just curse God and die? How'd you like to live with all that?" That's the way Job lived. But he never gave up. He was patient because he had hope in a faithful God. That's the kind of patience that's fueled by hope, a patience that can stand up even underneath the worst of circumstances, understanding that God's way is better than our way. Familiar scripture that most of you probably know, Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, shares, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." God saying, "I see the big picture. Trust in me. I have plans to give you a future. I have a hope for your future. Not right now. Not right now. Just trust me and wait. And wait." And I know some of you are in situations in your life where you are going through testing right now, where God's trying to build that patience in you. How many of you are waiting for something right now? Higher. All right. We're all waiting. Waiting for test results. Waiting for a diagnosis. Waiting for someone in our family to break a habit. Waiting for a financial situation to change. Some of you are waiting maybe to see if you've got the job. Waiting for God to heal a loved one. Some of you are waiting maybe for someone to forgive you or just to love you. And maybe you're even waiting for God to be real to you more than he ever has before. If you go through the Bible and you skim through the pages, you'll see that a lot of people, who did anything of significance for God had to wait. It's amazing. Noah built this huge boat in the backyard of his desert condo, right? But he had to wait how long? How many years? 120 years. How many years? 120 years for the first drop of rain to fall. That's crazy. So the boat could float. Abraham waited 100 years to father a child with Sarah. Moses waited 80 years for God to call him to lead the people from slavery to freedom. Joseph spent a decade and a half in prison for a crime he didn't even commit. Israel waited for centuries and centuries for the promised Messiah to come. And when Messiah finally came, Jesus waited 40 days to be tested in the desert before he ever could begin his ministry. His disciples waited in an upper room for the Holy Spirit to finally come upon them. God often wants to use frustrations, discouragements, and times of waiting in our life to produce patience inside of us. It's crazy. Remember the words of James, the Message translation puts it this way. "Consider it a pure gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature, well-developed, and not deficient in any way." Number two, God produces patience in us through the Holy Spirit when he begins to change our perspective on people. This one's huge. One of the most famous chapters in all the Bible, I read it just this past week when I did a wedding down in Ashland. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Love is patient." Love is patient. How do we make that show up in our life? Well, if you want your kids to know you love them, be more patient with them. How many of you parents could have been more patient with your kids even today? All right? All the time, patience to show up. You want your husband, your wife to show, you want to show them you love them? Be patient with them. Now, the word for patience in the original language is a different kind of word here. Patience kind of means the ability to count down before you blast off. Here you go. Count with me. 10, 9, 8. Right? Some people are known as having short fuses. That little trick can save so many horrible moments in relationships. The ability to count down, to have a longer fuse. There's a Job-like kind of patience in Scripture that's motivated by hope, to stay up underneath the pressure. But this kind, this word for patience in the fruit of the Spirit is motivated by mercy. Mercy towards other people. It's one thing to be patient in circumstances and in traffic, but it's another thing to be patient with people. That takes mercy. And I think we forget sometimes people are much more important than our time. Say it with me. People, and I think we forget that because all of us have a sickness. It's called hurry sickness. Everything we do is in a hurry. Remember this old song?
I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why.
Right? We just don't know why. You know, why are you in such a hurry? I don't know. It's inside of us. We live on a fast track. Remember Domino's, when they first established themselves, they were made popular because they had great pizza, right? No, it's like cardboard. They were made popular because they would deliver your food to you in how many minutes? Or less, or it was? You all know it, right? One of the craziest signs I ever saw in a mall was this. You got that sign back there? There it is. Ears pierced while you wait. Here you go. I'm going to go shopping for a while. You know, just take. Everybody pushes that they can do something faster than the next person because we live in this hurry-filled world, and we're in a hurry to get things done. I love what John Ortberg writes. He says, we must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. Doesn't mean we're not busy. It just means we're not in a hurry. Jesus had a lot to do, but Jesus was never in a hurry. He never was in such a hurry that he cut off his relationship with his Heavenly Father. He was never in such a hurry that anyone who came to him with a need, tugged on it, he would look at as an interruption. We read a lot of things about Jesus, but we never read Jesus hurried off to get to here. Jesus hurried up to get this done so he could do this. He was never, ever in a hurry. Busy? Yes. Hurry? No. Chuck Swindoll writes this: busyness rapes relationships. It substitutes shallow frenzy for deep friendship. It promises satisfying dreams, but delivers hollow nightmares. It feeds the ego, but starves the inner man. It fills a calendar, but fractures a family. It cultivates a program, but it plows under priorities. When our precious time becomes more precious than people, then patience leaves us and hurry replaces it. And our families have paid the price for that. We have paid the price for that. You say, maybe, Jeff, that sounds great, but you don't know the people that I need to be patient with. And it's really not up here on my priority list. Well, maybe a great scripture for you to keep going over is found in Proverbs 14:29. It says, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. All of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit starts to change our perspective and the people around us become more important than our hurriedness, then all of a sudden, maybe in situations, the Holy Spirit would whisper to you, hey, don't be impatient with them. Maybe you should help them. And don't be impatient with them. Maybe you should pick up a towel and serve them. And don't be impatient with them right now. Maybe you just send them a text, encouraging text, because love is patient. When God moves into your life and the Holy Spirit truly takes over your life, He truly does begin to produce love, joy, peace in this thing called patience. One more way God does it. And this is huge. He will remind you on a daily basis just how patient He's been with you. He will remind you on a daily basis just how patient He's been with you. Here's a great truth. You will never have to be more patient with anybody else than God has already been with you. You'll never have to be more patient with anyone else than God has already been with you. God reminds me almost on a daily basis when I'm about ready to explode with impatience for someone or something. And that is, all right, Jeff. If God can be patient with a former jerk like you, then how can you not be patient with someone that isn't even in the former category yet? In other words, they don't even know Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, the Apostle Paul shares, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. This is Paul, the persecutor and even murderer of Christ's followers. But God had unlimited patience with him as an example for you and I. If you and I were honest, some of us were pretty tough nuts to crack when it came to accepting Christ's forgiveness in accepting Christ as the Lord of our life. But God was patient with us, waited on us. My grandfather, who is now in heaven, was my age when he finally gave his life to Jesus Christ. And you don't know how many times I thank God that God waited on him and was patient with him to finally give his life and surrender it to Jesus Christ. How many of you experienced God's patience in your life? If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never followed through the obedience to His word and accepted Him as the Lord and Savior of your life, you can be glad you're still here. You're still breathing. And God's still waiting. And God's going to be patient with you. Why has he not come back yet? Why is Jesus not broken up with the clouds and taken us all to heaven? Because I think there's just one more. No, there's thousands more that he's being patient with. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Read this last part with me. He is patient. Let's read that one more time. He is patient. Only you know if that's you. Only you know if that's you. Father, we thank you so much for your patience with us. God, your patience in tarrying and waiting so that we would come to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And God, I pray for anyone in this room who's in that waiting room. God, whether it's to accept you for the very first time as the Lord and Savior of their life, or God, maybe it's making you a more of a priority in their hearts, in their lives, in their families' lives. God, thank you for your patience with us. And God, may we take that patience from this place and display it to those around us in our lives, so that they too would come to know the loving Savior that we know before that patience runs out that you have. God, we praise you, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is inside of us as believers that grows that patience inside. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, let's sing.